selling their property and possessions, or sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Hosanna in the high. As you take your seats, please look behind you and for the smiley face. Would you please sit near your smiley face? Thank you.
Nina is only obeying orders. We were told we have to sit on our smiley face. So who's sitting? Oh, actually, does everybody have a smiley face? You're supposed to be sitting on a smiley face. I guess that's for social distancing. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you, Nina. This is your first time leading, in, I guess, since a year and a half ago. So let's give a hand to the worship team leading us today. And Jane, last time she led worship here, she was single. And now she's married and she's 6 months pregnant. Her and Danny are expecting, so good job. I was wondering, how are you feeling, Jane? Are you okay? Okay. If you have to go to the bathroom, she's 6 months pregnant, so I'm sure he has to go to the bathroom quite a bit, but it's okay. But thank you for leading us in that time of worship. That's true dedication when I see that. I was actually at the Apple store the other day, and I overheard somebody asking for an iWatch. And they kept on asking for an iWatch. And so the employee of the Apple store took them to all of the different watches that they were selling, but they kept on saying, I want to buy the new series 6 or whatever the series is of the iWatch. And I kept on hearing that. And I'm thinking, it's not called an iWatch. What is it called? An Apple Watch. There is no such thing as an iWatch. So I was just wondering why the Apple employee did not correct her. So I was looking it up because I was looking up for maybe they changed their name to iWatch. And so I looked it up and still called Apple Watch. But then I was reading further about Apple employees. I found this article about Apple employees. And one of the job descriptions of an Apple employee is they can never correct a customer. So if you go into an Apple store and ask for an Izzy Watch or an Izzy phone, just do that. Try next time you're at Apple store, ask for an Izzy phone. I'd like an Izzy phone, please. And see, they're not allowed to correct you. And I was like, wow, that's like true dedication and devotion to your job. I actually, before, when I first came to Shanghai 14 years ago, I actually worked at SMIC and I was working in the HR department. And one of the things I did was, or actually the only thing I did was do training. So I did training in the HR department. And I always wondered who would actually sign up for my training? Because I did training on people skills, business English, how to write emails, some soft skills type of thing. But every time I would teach, I would have a full class. But then I learned that part of SMIC, part of the devotion to work in this that they were promoting was, one, is that employees, they have to sign up for seminars. So I'm like, okay, so that's probably why a lot of them signed up for me. But also another way to show dedication, another objective way that SMIC at the time, again, this was 14 years ago. I don't know if they still do it today, but you had to check in by 8:30 a.m. Like you literally had to swipe your badge. And if you swiped your badge in after 8:30, like at 8:31, you would be considered late. And you only got so many late, and then your supervisor would have to talk to you. And I think there was even a period of time where they actually would dock your pay, like they would reduce your pay if you were late too many times. Anyway, there's different objective ways, whether you agree with it or not, objective ways that people measure people's devotion to the workplace. But let me ask you something. Is there an objective way to measure your devotion to Christ and the church? And I think for a lot of us, we can be dedicated to our work. There's some objective ways to measure that. There's dedication and devotion to your hobbies. But for Christians, we tend to think, no, there's no really objective way to measure our devotion to Christ and the church. Well, I would like to say I would disagree with you, because we're going to take a look at scripture today and what the Bible teaches about how to objectively, and I'm not here to judge anybody, and you are not here to listen to the sermon to judge your friend or your spouse or your kids. This is for us to do some evaluation in our own lives, okay? So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And Acts is the first book after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And the book of Acts, here we see the early church, the first century church, when they get developed. And listen to what the writer of Acts says in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. He says, "And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." We're going to take a look at these. Actually, I think there are three things, not four things, but three things that in an objective way that we can evaluate our own lives just to see how devoted we are to Christ and the church. And here the writer uses the word devoting themselves. So this is what, in a nutshell, how the early church came to be all that God wanted them to be. And this applies to us here in the 21st century. This is in a summary how God has called us to be all that we are to be as a church and as followers of Jesus Christ. First of all, he says to devote ourselves to God's word, Just really quick, AV team, if there's a way to turn on this back TV, John, if there's a way to, because the back TV is not working, so I can't see what everybody else is seeing. So if we can get that working, that would be great. Thanks, AV team. So first is devotion to ourselves to God's word. We must dedicate ourselves to learning and applying scripture. But I want us to take a look at this key word that the writer of Acts here uses. And it's specifically, he says, they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. To the apostles' teaching. And so we can assume here that there are false teaching. And there's not a week that goes by where I'm studying or I am asked a question about, is this good teaching or bad teaching? Is this right teaching or false teaching? I want you to take a look at this picture over here. So this is our new admin, Emma. So she actually, one of these things, oh, she actually even said the name. Okay, so one of it is a multivitamin and the other one's a disinfectant. The disinfectant is these, and they both have our little pills. The disinfectant is used to dilute in a whole bucket of water, I think like 3 liters of water for one tablet. And that's what we use to clean the pews. I think we have to clean it 3 times a week. And so some of you might be touching the pew and it might feel a little slippery. Well, that's the disinfectant. It is probably the cleanest thing that you'll find all week because we disinfect this place a lot throughout the week. And so that's a disinfectant. But doesn't it look really close to these children multivitamins? It looks really similar to that, right? And here you see they look very similar on the outside, but they're very different. So the vitamin, these children vitamins that Emma gives to her children are good for you. But if you eat the disinfectant, that'd be very bad for you. The vitamin is there to help you if you eat it, but if you eat a disinfectant pill, it will hurt you. The vitamins will help you to grow, but if you eat a disinfectant pill, it will kill you. And I share that because false teaching can often look very similar to biblical teaching. Look with me in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says this, "As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed," or the Greek word is anathema. The word accursed means damned. And here Paul is telling, and we see this throughout the book of Galatians and throughout the New Testament, that there are false teachers out there. And false teaching can often look very similar to the true gospel, the true word of God, but the difference is heaven and hell. The true gospel, the center of what the apostles were teaching, and this is central to what we teach here at this church, is salvation that we have Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's at the heart of the gospel. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. In summary, and this is something that I learned from Pastor Sam Albury this past week, he said that at the heart of the gospel is not about God rewarding good people. The heart of the true gospel is about God forgiving bad people. The heart of the gospel is not about God rewarding good people. It is about God forgiving bad people. And that's at the heart of the true gospel. And we need to be careful about people who kind of teach, well, you know, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to be saved, you need to get your act straight. You need to be good. You need to do all this. Then God will accept you. That's wrong. At the heart of the gospel are people that realize that they're sinners. They have no righteousness in themselves. The book of Isaiah talks about our righteousness are like filthy rags. In Isaiah, he says that our you know, when as a person, we think, oh, we're righteous people. Well, compared to God's righteousness, our righteousness are like filthy rags. And that picture of a filthy rag in ancient times was actually talking about, I don't mean to gross anybody out, but especially all the men out there, but it's talking about when women menstruate and they would use a cloth. That is the picture that Isaiah wants us to see when we think that our righteousness is like that. Our righteousness are filthy compared to God. So the person who realizes that and comes before God and realizes that God forgives bad people, that's the true gospel. So we need to devote ourselves to the teaching of God's word. I was also, you know, this principle, we can talk a lot about this aspect of God's word and devoting ourselves to God's word. And you know as well as I do that this is more than just hearing the word, but it's about doing the word. James talks about don't be hearers of the word, just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. I was talking to a friend of mine who was a missionary in Angola. Angola was a country that was under war, a lot of war. And their mission organization was helping the people there, especially the farm people that start farming again, start cultivating the land. And so this ministry from the U.S., I think it was like Samaritan's Purse or something like that, they would bring bags and bags of seed so that the Angolan people would farm and plant the seeds. But within 1 month, the whole year's supply of seed was gone. They ran out within 1 month. They supplied them with enough seed to last for a whole year, but it was gone in 1 month. And so the missionaries came back and were wondering what's going on. What had happened was that, this is a true story, but what happened was the Angolan people, they didn't understand what to do with the seed. They ate the seed. They would eat the seed rather than sow the seed. And as Christians, we're not commanded to eat the seed. We're commanded to plow and sow the seed in our lives. For example, you can have here a message about and read books about forgiving people. You have heard sermons about how we need to forgive those that have wronged us. We have maybe even taught that those passages about forgiving people and turning the other cheek, and maybe even heard sermons about forgiveness that made us cry and moved us so much. Yet at the same time, we remain in bitterness. We remain in such anger. Why is that? Well, it's because sometimes we eat the seed and not sow it in our own lives and in our own hearts. Not just about listening to sermons, it's about doing sermons. It's not about just reading the word of God, but it's about doing the word of God. So first principle that we see here in Acts chapter 2 is, he says, to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Secondly, devote ourselves to fellowship. Fellowship, and this word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia. Can you say koinonia? Koinonia. Koinonia is a great word. It literally means fellowship. And oftentimes we think of fellowship as coming together and singing songs and maybe doing an activity and studying the Bible and then having a time of sharing and praying. And that's definitely part of fellowship. But I think there's a broader picture of fellowship. And specifically here, this is what fellowship looked like in the first century. Here in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, the writer says, "And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need." When you first look at this passage, when I first read this passage, especially this past week, I was thinking, boy, did they promote socialism in the first century? You know, I was thinking about that, especially this past week. Those of you who were kind of seeing the celebrations going on, I'm like, is this socialism? Is this kind of like, I don't think so. I mean, because I think socialism is kind of like the sort of like forced sharing of everything that I own with the government, with the state. But this is koinonia. Koinonia, fellowship, is the voluntarily sharing what God has given me with those who have need, even if I have to go without. That's what fellowship is. It's not about being forced to, but it's voluntarily giving to others, motivated not because I'm forced to, but it's motivated because I love you so very much. And that's what fellowship is all about. And one of the practical ways that we can do that is with our tithes and offerings. This is just one aspect, one practical way of doing this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And here Jesus tells us that you want to know where your heart is, take a look at your bank account. Where's your money? That's where your heart is. And I hear this a lot in the sense of people asking me, you know, Pastor Jason, what are some of the needs? Because I'd like to give to where my heart is. And I think that's a really backwards way of looking at it, because the Bible says your heart follows the money, not the money follows your heart. And so wherever your money is, that is where your heart is. So if you want your heart to be on the things of God, that's where your money should be. And then in the second part, in verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The key word I want us to take a look at here is cannot. Cannot. I think a lot of us feel, when we read this verse, we think, man, Jesus, I agree with Jesus. Jesus says we shouldn't love God and wealth. But that's not what he says. This is not even a command. This is not even Jesus saying, thou shalt not love God and wealth. He is indicating here an impossibility. What Jesus is saying here, it is impossible. Impossible to love God and wealth. And so many of us tend to think, well, I'd like to kind of be in both. You can't. It is an impossibility. And one of the ways that we can share in fellowship with one another is by giving to the Lord and his work in that he's doing here in the church. Also, this aspect of fellowship is very interesting. I was reading a story about the early settlers in America. And when America, the United States, first started, everybody pretty much lived on the East Coast. In the original 13 colonies. But in order to encourage people to go out west, the government would give out free land. And so I don't know if you've heard of that or studied that, or even there's been some movies about that, where people, especially the European immigrants that first immigrated to America, they actually would go west and stake out their land. And so it was kind of like almost... It's not like you can just claim any land. There was a specific period of time and specific kind of like like a contest where you had a like a fixed period of time to go and stake out a particular stake of land. Anyway, so that's what people would do is that they would get their land. It would be like a big size plot of land that they would do. And so what typically happened was that the early settlers would build their home in the middle of their land. So right in the middle of their land. So they have this square piece of land and they would build their home in the middle. And then the neighbors next to them, which again, we're talking about acres and acres of land, they would also build their home in the middle of their land. And so that's what people did. What wound up happening is that when you read kind of like this time in history of the United States, there were a lot of psychotic breakdowns that would happen because these people would just live in isolation and they would kind of go crazy because they would just be living by themselves with no interaction because they would be living in the middle of their land having no interaction. So what happened was over time, people were encouraged to build their home, not in the middle of the square, but at the corner of the square. And so what that would mean was that the other people, other landowners, they would all kind of live in this one corner together. And so they would have about four or five families having community. Anyway, this is a very interesting picture because in the same way, for a healthy, thriving church, it's not about being self-reliant, but it's about ordinary people sharing lives together, sharing joys and sorrows, sharing their lives together. And that's what the church is all about. Not about being independent farmers, but to be living in harmony with one another. And that's so important, I think, especially today, because one of the trends that I'm seeing, this is fairly recently, is in America, as churches are opening up, they're realizing many people don't want to come back to church. They enjoy doing church online. And I'll be the first to admit, for the past 75 weeks, I'm sitting on my couch watching, on my iPad with my family, but I'm sitting in my shorts and maybe eating like bowl of cereal or something like that, very casual, and listening, to the sermon, the songs, and giving our tithes and offering and everything like that for the past 74 weeks, and today I wore pants, for the past few weeks I wore pants, but I think it's very easy to be so nonchalant about our Christianity. It's very easy to just kind of just be lazy about our Christianity, especially these past 75 weeks. I love talking to my family, especially like my mom. And the only way to talk to her is on phone. Sometimes I FaceTime with my siblings. And that's nice to be able to do that. But nothing replaces face-to-face contact. I know some families where husband and wife, they just kind of communicate through WeChat. And what the scary part is not that they're doing that. The scary part is that they get so used to it. And they're like, we prefer it that way. We actually prefer not to physically be together. And that's not good. That's very unhealthy. And I think that in the same way, doing online church, it has gotten us through a very difficult period in world history during the COVID time. But now that we're opening up, God is giving us this opportunity to be able to be together again. I understand it's going to take some time. And I don't want to guilt trip anybody listening to online. And maybe for whatever reason, you're not able to come today. And I'll just state that we're going to continue to do online, like the live stream, until we're 100%. But until then, we're going to continue to do live stream. But I hope that we will one day get rid of the online streaming. And I know that some people have said, but there's, we're reaching so many people. On any given Sunday, we were looking on staff, we kind of look at how many people are clicking. We have like 800 clicks on Sundays, of our online service. I know there's a lot of people watching. And I understand the scope that it can reach. And I believe there's a place for that. We're going to continue to always, we've always done this where we have our sermons online that we post and so forth. We're going to continue to have that. But that's not a substitute to the real life fellowship that we can have and experience face to face. Because we need that togetherness. We need that togetherness. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Last, they devoted themselves to prayerful worship. The word is prayer, but what kind of prayer were they devoting themselves to? Verse 47, it says that they were praising God, having favor with people, and the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. So this is prayerful worship, and this is something that is so important when we gather together for worship. Worship is not just about singing songs. Worship is not just about what I'm going to receive. Worship is about giving God. It's giving God our voice, giving God our hearts, giving God our money, giving God our time and our talent and our treasure. It's not about what I receive. It's about what God receives. I should confess something. There was a worship team here that I made a comment. I'll tell you, it was Hannah Hsu. She's not here, so I can talk about it. But she's a high schooler, and they led the first worship set first Sunday, and they're at a retreat now, so I can talk about it. But Hannah's great. She sang a song. I said, Hannah, I don't know that song. Choose a different song. And Hannah's just such a gentle person. She changed and so forth. But afterwards, I kind of was very convicted in my heart about what I said to her. And it was like God telling me, Jason, they're not worshiping you. These songs are not about you. These songs are about God himself. And that's a good response when people tell me, I don't like the songs that we sang today. Well, that's okay, because we weren't worshiping you. we weren't worshiping me. It's about God. It's about what he gets out of it, not about what we get out of it. Those of you who are following sports, I know some of you do. I know Pastor Austin, we're following what's going on in the NBA right now. But since our Lakers are out, we're not as interested in the NBA. But the NFL, the National Football League, had their Super Bowl back in January. And those of you who remember that Super Bowl, it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that won. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what was so special about that win was their quarterback, Tom Brady. He already had six Super Bowl rings. He's won six times, and then he joined the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that one year, this past year, and he won his seventh ring. And of course, Tampa Bay had a big celebration, and of course, they're talking about paying him oodles more money. What I wanted to talk about was actually the losing team. Does anybody know who lost? Kansas City Chiefs. Yay, Kansas City. Okay, so those of you who don't know Kansas City, okay, some of you are Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, so Kansas City, what was interesting was although Kansas City lost, they had a huge parade when they got home from the Super Bowl. And it was very moving when you saw this, because this is the losing team, okay? But the losing team, and they're from St. Louis, and they had over 45,000 people that came to greet them when they got off the plane. 45,000 people. I didn't even think that there were 45,000 people in St. Louis, but there were 45,000 people that came just to greet them coming down from the airplane. And they had speeches made from some of the football players. I don't even know who plays on the Kansas City Chiefs. And they had the bands play. But I'll tell you this. After the parade, after the event, after the tribute to the Kansas City Chiefs, I bet you not a single person walked away with this event was a waste of my time. I don't think a single person thought that. Everybody there were charged and they were so excited. Why? Because they understood the purpose. The purpose of the event was not to please the fans. The purpose of the event was to honor the team, honor the players. The purpose of why we are here today is not about listening to the music or even getting something out of the sermon. The focus of today, of why we are gathered today, of what worship is all about, is what did God get out of it? What did God get out of my heart to him? That's what worship is all about. When we devote ourselves to living out God's truth of God's word, to sharing our lives together in genuine koinonia, genuine fellowship, and to joyful worship, then and only then can there be effective evangelism. Then and only then do people respond to the gospel and find new life in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for our gathering today. And it is a joy to be together. And Father, I'll be the first to admit, it definitely feels different than from sitting on my couch in my home. And it is a bit inconvenient to come all the way to church and to be here. But yet, Father, this is so much better than that. Being together is so much better. This is so much more real and so much more needed. So, Father, thank you again for everyone here. And for those that are not able to be here, may they come soon, we ask. And I thank you so very much for this time that we can truly objectively evaluate our own hearts and our own lives. Being devoted isn't just a word. Being devoted is not just about what our intentions are, but being devoted is actually doing, practicing your word and fellowship and prayerful worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's continue to worship this song, which is a story about salvation, but also about the early church. Please stand so we can praise together, including those online. Please feel free to stand from your couches and worship together with us in spirit.
Without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt.
Praise for stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd gone to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth above, it shall not kneel, it shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the blood of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Be seated. As I mentioned, Pastor Austin and I are Laker fans. I would say Pastor Austin is a much bigger fan than I. I saw him yesterday, and him, his wife, and daughter have Laker shirts on, Laker jerseys. And so, yes, he is a very devoted friend. And I don't think there's anything wrong to be devoted to things as long as it doesn't become an obsession. Obviously, there are things that are bad, you know, when we're devoted to things. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. When we're devoted too much to even our work, that could be bad. Devoted to the wrong things are bad. But I think if during those times as Christians, why it's important to take communion. Because the communion time is to remember the cross. And the cross reminds us of God's devotion to us. The cross doesn't remind us of our devotion to God. The cross reminds us of God's devotion and his love for us. And that is the ultimate example of what devotion and love is all about. And so we're going to take this time of communion. And so I'm very happy that we're able to participate in communion today. I'd like to have Xiaowang, Winston, James, and Singwat come up. And as we partake in the communion elements, the bread reminds us of Christ's body that was broken for us. And I'd like to invite anybody that is a Christian and you have been water baptized to participate in the communion elements. If you are not a Christian and have not been water baptized yet, I just ask that you abstain from the elements during this time. Before we partake in the bread, I'll have Winston pray for the bread before we partake.
Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your broken body on the cross. It is because of your broken body we can now come before our Lord and give our life to our Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for obeying all the way to the cross. We thank you, Lord, for this bread that is broken for us. Let us take this bread together in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The cup reminds us of Christ's shed blood on the cross. Before we partake in the cup, I'll have Singwat pray for the cup before we partake.
Father, thank you for your love for all of us here. Thank you for the love that you showed us over the cross. Thank you for your holy blood. We believe because of the blood, our sin is cleansed by you. Thank you, Lord, for this important session. Thank you, Jesus Christ.
The same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." That concludes our communion service. At this time, I'll have Pastor Austin come and share some announcements before we are dismissed.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Why don't we all stand really quickly and just greet the people around us. Just welcome them back to TEF. Maybe share your name if you don't know them. Let's just say hi to each other.
Welcome back.
I'll leave it up to you if you want to shake hands, but it should be okay to shake hands if you want to. All right. Well, it's really good to see a lot of you guys back here, a lot of familiar faces. You may have a seat again. So if you have your programs with you, on the backside, we have a few announcements for you all right now. So the first announcement is that our TEF outing, which is on July 10th, still has some space for people to attend. So if you're interested in registering, Here is the QR code above. It's going to be at Chongming Island, starting at Saturday, 8:45 a.m., ending in the afternoon. And I think the main emphasis is just exactly what Pastor Jason talked about today. It's about community. It's about being together. It's about not giving up in accountability and talking to one another. And I know, at least for myself, I'm always there at these outings to be intentional. We're getting to know you guys too. And so if you are free next week and your family is available, please consider coming to this outing. It's going to be 100 RMB for some great gifts, for a hot pot, for many other things, for the bus, all those stuff too. So it's a very good deal. And we just pray that if you're available next Saturday, please come along. Our second announcement is that we have ushers that are still needed for the rest of this year. As you notice, as you guys are coming in, that there's a lot of people doing registration. And so if you're interested in serving our church, this is one of the best ways to do it. And I love the mission statement. It's all about making people feel at home. And so if you are just a friendly person or you just want to get to know people better in our church, please consider doing the ushering ministry. The third announcement is that we still also need many, many, many more worship team members. My wife, Jolie, is actually the coordinator. I lead a team, and there's a great need for musicians. So if you feel like you would love to give your gifts and talents in this way, whether just singing, whether it's piano or guitar, or you play a saxophone or a violin or whatever, we could use you for worship. So please prayerfully consider serving this way. And I'll tell you, it's the biggest blessing to be able to get to know Pastor Jason better from this and to serve our congregation as well. Announcement number four is for Stephen Ministry. So we're having a Stephen Ministry meeting on July 11th after service from 5:15 to 5:45. And so if you're interested in serving one of our wonderful ministries here, which is Stephen Ministry, please talk to Julie over on the left side where that Stephen Minister banner is afterwards. And we would love for you to come join our training and to learn more about how you can serve in this way as well. Lastly, our last announcement is about offering. So if you're interested in providing an offering or giving a tithe to our church, we have tithe boxes to the right of myself, next to the man in the orange right here, James, and then two boxes also in the back. And also we have an Alipay account. So if you want to give an offering, please do it this way. During COVID, giving has been down. And so if you're considering just trying to help us financially or just give to the church, we would really appreciate it. Now back to Pastor Jason.
Thank you, Pastor Austin. Let's stand as we close our service. Father, as we sang, how beautiful is the body of Christ. And Father, this is the body of Christ. And Father, we're beautiful, not because of our righteousness, because our righteousness are filthy rags, but because of Christ's righteousness, which is given to us. Father, thank you so very much for this wonderful time of worship service, being together as a church. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.
Have a blessed week.